Well, God bless you. Welcome. And we're going to start with Matthew chapter 28 today. We're going to look at the responsibilities of Jesus Christ, part 5. The conclusion, for now anyway, of this series on the responsibilities that Jesus Christ has. And I thought maybe I'd take a couple of minutes to explain again the purpose behind the teaching, why originally I chose to do it in the first place. And I think it has to do somewhat with the fact that when we first learned about Jesus Christ, those of us who have been involved with the ministry for a number of years, we learned that Jesus Christ is not God, and we learned that he's the Son of God. But being that is the case that we learned, the interesting thing is that might have made us think that he doesn't have the power and authority that the only begotten Son of God has. In other words, we might say, well, he's just a man. Well, he was a man when he walked the earth. But he's no longer just a man, so to speak. He's seated at the right hand of God, far above all principality and power, as we've looked at. And he has a very live and active ministry that he's undertaking. So to say, well, he's just a man, maybe we diminished him in our thinking in terms of the responsibilities that he has. So in order to understand that further, I thought it was beneficial to take a look at what the scriptures say about the responsibilities that he does indeed have. And again, I'll remind you that this is not meant to be academic or just head knowledge, but he has a real active and living and vibrant ministry that is a benefit to believers today, and we need to understand that. So we'll start in Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So all power was given into the hand of Jesus Christ. So you can understand right away why somebody might mistake or think that he is God, because all power is given into his hand, into all power in heaven and earth. In John chapter 3, let's go to John chapter 3, and we're going to read in verse 34 of the third chapter of John. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, talking about Jesus Christ, obviously. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. All things into Jesus' hand. All things means all things. Now we know from our previous study that all things means everything except who? God. It is accepted that God, who put all things under Jesus Christ, accepted himself. In other words, God is not under the Lord Jesus Christ. God is Jesus Christ's Father. But other than that, it says here, all things into Jesus' hand. In John chapter 5. John 5, and we'll look at verse 20 to start. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And we're going to be looking specifically this week at the responsibilities that Jesus Christ has as related to judging. And here it says that hath committed all judgment unto the Son. God has committed all judgment unto the Son. Verse 23, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. They're going to hear the voice of Jesus Christ. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority. Who? God has given Jesus Christ authority. God hath given him authority to execute judgment. See, so Jesus Christ has been given the authority to execute judgment. And who gave it to him? God did. God gave him the authority because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. So the judging that Jesus Christ is going to do is going to be done in accordance with God. He always did God's will, he said, and when he was on the earth, and he continues to do so. So when he does the judging, he's going to do it in accordance with God. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Why? Because God is just. Jesus Christ will perform just judgment because God is just, because I seek not mine own will, here there it is, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. So even in the judgment, Jesus Christ is going to be seeking God's will, God's opinion on the judgment that he's going to give. Now, isn't it wonderful to know, you know, given all the unjust judgments that take place in this world on a day-by-day basis, isn't it wonderful to know that the judgment that Jesus Christ is going to be doing is going to be a just judgment, a fair and just judgment in accordance with God? Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Where is all this going? Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians, and we've read this before, but let's read it again. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. There it is again, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in the Lord Jesus Christ, all consummating under the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've looked at that in some detail in previous teachings. Look at Acts chapter 10. So, looking at the topic of responsibilities related to judgment, in Acts chapter 10, we're going to start with verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, by the way, he's Lord of all, that word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he, Jesus Christ, which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to be the judge of the living and the dead. So it is God who has ordained him to be the judge of the living and the dead. You see, again, the responsibility to judge has been given to him, to Jesus Christ, by God his Father in Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, when Paul was at Athens, and we read starting in verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. And in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day. God has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all in that he hath raised him from the dead. See, God has appointed a day that he's going to judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has been given the responsibility for judgment. Look at Romans chapter 14. So you can, again, understand why sometimes people might think, well, Jesus is God because he has the responsibility. But we know from the clear record of the scriptures that that is not the case. He's the Son of God, and the authority has been given to him by God. Jesus Christ has the authority because God gave it to him, but God is still above the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 14, verse 8. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. See, Jesus Christ is going to be doing the judgment. So we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And again, as we've seen, that judging he's going to be doing, it will be doing in light of God's advice and God's opinion. And as for us, the believers who are in the grace administration, we've already been judged in Christ Jesus and found blameless, wanting for nothing, blameless before him in love. Look at 2 Corinthians 5. So that judgment for the believer is going to be one simply of receiving reward for the work that we've done. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Here it is again, the judgment seat of Christ. And again, for the believer, the Christian, in the grace administration, it will be a time of reward for the things that they have accomplished, built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, as we know from other sections of God's Word. But the key thing we're looking at is that Jesus Christ is the one who is responsible for the judging. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, please. 2 Timothy chapter 4. When Paul was writing to Timothy by revelation, near the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4, we'll start with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. See, Jesus Christ, again, is going to be the judge of the living and the dead. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, Timothy. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. See, Jesus Christ, not only is he responsible for the judging, but he's also responsible for the reward. Here he says the righteous judge, Jesus Christ, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Jesus Christ given the responsibility for judgment and for reward. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Obviously, as you can well imagine, there's much in the book of Revelation related to judgment and reward. Revelation chapter 1. Looking at, again, some of the responsibilities Jesus Christ has, other responsibilities that he's had, in addition to the ones we've already looked at. And Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me. This is when he saw Jesus Christ, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Jesus Christ holds the keys of hell and death. Isn't that an interesting responsibility? Revelation chapter 2, next chapter, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Incidentally, throughout this section here, when it refers to the church, it's the word is synagogue. It's a reference to synagogue or assembly. In verse 7, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. to the assemblies. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Jesus Christ responsible to those who overcome to give them to eat of the tree of life. He's responsible for doing that. Verse 8, and unto the angel of the church or assembly in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Their synagogue. Fear not of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Jesus Christ is responsible for rewarding those who endure to that through that time in the future administration. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. You see again, Jesus Christ responsible to deliver judgment. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And here he has responsibility to give rewards, and here it's talking about authority or responsibility over nations. Jesus Christ is responsible for that. In chapter 3, Revelation, verse 5, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Jesus Christ responsible for managing the book of life. He said he wouldn't blot the name out from there, so he has that responsibility. Verse 12. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So he can do that. He said he can make them a pillar in the temple of my God. That's something Jesus Christ has the responsibility to do. Verse 16. So let's go to 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He has the responsibility and capability to do that when he provides judgment and reward. In chapter 6 of Revelation, and again, we're just going through and looking at a few verses here. The entire book deals with much of this topic. In Revelation 6, verse 1, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. Verse 16. And said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Jesus Christ is responsible for executing the wrath of God in judgment. God has given him the responsibility to carry that out. We're going to see that a little more of that here in Revelation. Look at chapter 14, please. Revelation 14. And says in verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in a sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. Responsible for reaping the earth in judgment that has been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're just looking today at some of the responsibilities related to judging. And again, you can see how people could mistake that Jesus Christ was God, but he's not. He's the Son of God. The responsibilities have clearly been given to him by God our Father. They've been given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation 17, please. 17, verse 14. Here's more of that. And this whole chapter, you can read it in great detail, talks about much about the judgment and wrath. But look at verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. He's the one who's going to make war. He's Lord of lords and he's King of kings to execute God's wrath in judgment upon the earth. In Revelation 19. Revelation, remember, he's God's second in command, seated at God's right hand. In Revelation 19, verse 11, here's more. And I saw heaven opened, chapter 19, verse 11. I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called The Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Who is doing that? Jesus Christ. And he hath on his vesture, verse 16, and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ is the one he's the one who's making war here. He's the one who's executing God's wrath here in response to God's command to him, because he is second in command and he's been given the responsibility to do that. In Revelation 20, in verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Jesus Christ responsible for reigning in this that administration, a future administration, for 1,000 years. That's a responsibility that he has been given. And in Revelation 22 to close, Revelation 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is the one who is responsible for the giving of reward. So that's a little bit on the responsibility Jesus Christ has in judgment, or responsibilities related to judgment and the future administrations and the various activities that are going to take place. So in conclusion of this series of teachings on the responsibilities of Jesus Christ, we have seen some of the reasons for the responsibilities that Jesus Christ has. God gave him the authority. He made him both Lord and Christ. God glorified Jesus Christ and named him as the cornerstone rejected by the builders. God exalted him and made him Lord of all. God is the one who declared him to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead. God is the one who put all things under him with the exception of himself. God set him at his own right hand, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the ages to come. At his name, every knee must bow in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Jesus Christ ascended up on high, and he led captivity captive. In Christ were created the thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers, the authority structures that will have tremendous impact in ages to come. God has appointed him heir of all things, and is God who made him higher than the heavens, with all powers being subject to him. God has made him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as we just read. Due to this highly exalted position that Jesus Christ holds, we can understand and appreciate the responsibilities that have also been given to him because of this position. He came into the world to save sinners. He's the mediator between God and men, the captain of salvation. He's responsible for shedding forth the Holy Spirit, responsible for making people whole, for confirming the word with signs following. He is our Lord, that overarching responsibility that has been given to him, a truth that everyone must eventually confess. He's head of the body of Christ, with the salutations in the church epistles coming from God and from the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only named position in the body, with the result that the church is subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is responsible to nourish and cherish the church. He's responsible to assign ministries within the church, as might be expected. He's responsible to direct the members in the body of Christ, as also might be expected, a responsibility with which people have had difficulty when they do not hold the head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's been given the responsibility to be our high priest, taken from among men by God, purged our sins, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, has an unchangeable priesthood with no more offering for sin required, allowing us to go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace in time of need. He's been ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead, as we read, to judge the whole world. He holds the keys of hell and death. He's responsible for rewards and the delivering of judgment. He's responsible for the execution of God's wrath in judgment. He's responsible for the reaping of the earth to tread the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He's responsible for reigning in a future administration. And there are some other aspects that we did not look at in any great detail. He's responsible for the strengthening of believers, to succor and comfort believers. He's responsible to fight for those in the body. He's responsible to give his people rest, to help carry their burdens. He's responsible to provide hope for his people. He is the first and last of God's new creation, and he is the light of the new Jerusalem. I hope that this introductory look at the responsibilities of Jesus Christ has given us all a much better appreciation of all that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does on our behalf, of the extent and importance of his position as God's second in command. God bless you.